gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcasts, Impact Wrestling Redemption Review. I'm your host for today, Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective, 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, both available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now. And yes, it is 11 minutes past 9 on a Sunday morning, and we are a little bit crazy to do so. But, I have Adam Davey here of the Impact Lounge, and we're going to review Impact Wrestling Redemption. Hi, Adam. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad, Oliver, not bad. Although I'd like to think now, as this is my second time on the show, I'd like to be the Impact correspondent, I think, for the Broken But Glorious podcast, maybe. I have to get some business cards printed up, I think.
Yeah, you probably would. And yeah, considering I watch Impact as well, I think we might have to fight that one out, in all honesty. But the reason why I contacted yourself is, it's not as much fun to do it on your own, really. And I enjoyed the Crossroads review from the other, from the last show. So, I wanted you to be involved for that reason.
Absolutely. It's been a really boom time for Impact Wrestling, and I think they've, I think internet wrestling community online has started to mellow a bit. You're still going to get the haters, but I think there's less and less these days, and people are enjoying the product that's being put out there. So, yeah, I'm delighted to be on, and as Oliver said, you get a chance to check out Impact Lounge as well.
Absolutely. So, yeah, let's go straight into the show there, Adam. The first match was Drago against Aerostar, both members of Lucha Underground. Drago has been on Impact Wrestling and was a part of the Super X Cup 2017. What did you make of this match?
It was fine. To be honest, there was so much happened on the pay-per-view that this I don't want to say it was filler because, they are very good guys in the ring. It was okay. It showcased other guys from Lucha Underground, but it didn't really do anything for the Impact show going forward. So it was fine. There was a few botches in it. I think there was a few botches throughout the night because of the top rope. People were tending to slip off it and things like that. But, yeah, it was all right. I haven't really got much to add because, these guys, although they are going to be appearing on Impact going forward now and again, I don't think they're ever going to be featured guys. They're just going to be there to make up numbers in matches, including next week's Impact. But, yeah, it was all right. It was good, but it didn't really serve any purpose other than filling out the card, to be honest.
Yeah. I just pick up what you said about the top rope. That was hazardous throughout the show. I like Drago, I like his character. I don't think I've seen too much of Aerostar. I think in this situation it was to cement the relationship between Lucha Underground and Impact Wrestling, which if you look at the history between the two companies has come a long way. So I'm happy in that instance. And if you give a Cruiserweight X Division style match at the start of a show, it's always going to pump up the crowd, and I think it did that well. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And just on Drago, by the way, I think that he has done a lot of value. I think he's a very, very good wrestler. I mean, he's been in and out of Impact for quite some time now. He was there, I think, last year during Slammiversary, that set of tapings last year. So, yeah, he's a good guy to have around. And, they could make something of him. But Aerostar, I just think he's most probably a little too small to be able to really make an impact in the division.
And then, moving on to the next match for the Impact Tag Team Championships. LAX versus Eli Drake, that never gets old, and Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner. What did you make of this match, Adam?
Just before I go on to that, the one thing I would like to say as well is commentary, because Don Callis was on commentary as well throughout the show, and he was an impact this week. I liked Sanjay Dutt, and I thought they were getting the team, him and Josh, but what a difference having Don Callis on commentary. I don't know if you saw anything about that, Oliver, but to me, he was the best commentator they've had since Don West.
Yeah, I can completely agree with you, in all honesty. That kind of slipped my mind for a second there, yeah. If I was Sanjay Dutt, obviously he's got a million roles in Impact Wrestling. I was like, okay, you've been built up to be on this show, and all of a sudden Don Callis is the commentator. Was my thinking right at the beginning. And then when you actually hear it and what he adds to the matches and stuff, he was absolutely fantastic. But that dates back to his ECW days, doesn't it? With Joey Styles, he was, you know, absolutely incredible as a color commentator at that point. So, yeah, he adds so much to the commentary team, and obviously to the brand. And being, you know, one of the officials behind the scenes with Scott D'Amore, you know, he can speak from a management perspective as well as commentary, and hopefully from a fan's perspective. Cheap plug.
I think he has been the best signing that Anthem have made since taking over, you know, because of all the things he's done backstage in creative, in management, and now also on air product. You know, I think he's been fantastic. But anyway, back to the tag match you asked me about. I'm going to quite unashamedly say this is my favourite match of the night, and it was funny. I was expecting LAX to retain on this one, and I also thought that it was going to be a bit of a train wreck, because I was actually at Slammiversary. I think I mentioned on the Crossroads pay-per-view review we did, I was at Slammiversary last year. Big Papa Pump didn't do much. You know, he was a bit out of shape. Let's face it, he was 55 at the time, and he didn't have much in the gas tank. But I tell you what, he did well in this one, and yeah. LAX, for me, and I said this on my show as well, LAX, I think, are the best tag team out there at the moment. I'm not just talking about Impact. I'm talking about across every promotion. Now, they must have, you know, I was going to say they don't get much talk time because Conan tends to do it. But I think they've been absolutely fantastic. In the ring, I don't think there's a better tag team out there.
You know, in terms of this match, when Scott Steiner pulled out the Frankensteiner from the top rope, oh, my gosh. That made my heart, you know, beat fast. That was brilliant. LAX-wise, I looked at this incarnation and I wasn't sure, in all honesty, at the beginning. But they've grown on me. You know, they had a fantastic feud with OVE, didn't they? Dave and Jake Crist. And, you know, they've grown on me, and they are tremendous when it comes to, you know, tag team manoeuvres and all that, and everything, basically. And obviously Conan, but Conan's a fantastic mouthpiece for him. So, you know, they haven't had an opportunity to really show personalities, maybe, but in ring, they are definitely a great tag team. But the team of Eli Drake and Scott Steiner being the tag team champions for however long it lasts is going to be fantastic TV.
Yeah, the Frankensteiner, by the way, looked like Steiner almost knocked himself out pulling it off. Great to see him do it. You know, kudos to a guy that age to be able to do moves like that. But it did look like he hurt himself. He did another move on this week's Impact as well. And I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, I haven't seen this week's Impact.
he does a belly to belly or overhead belly to something suplex from the top rope.
Nearly
killing Santana in the process, but that was very good as well. And once again, a guy his age shouldn't be doing things like that, but it was wonderful. And I don't know how long it's going to last, but you know what? People will moan saying, oh, you're putting it on a part timer, an old timer, or whatever. But he's not a 9-year-old boy, is he? So, or how old the guy in WWE was.
You don't want to be saying that, Adam, because Nicholas will give you these hands.
But to be fair to Steiner, you know, and Drake, you know how long they hold on to it for. The promos are going to be comedy gold, aren't they? And it's going to be great. So, anyway, I was surprised that they gave him the titles, but at the same time, secretly pleased. I don't know where LAX go from here. But we'll see. It was good. It was really good. Much better than the match ever looked like it was going to be on paper. It was fantastic.
I think, you know, from the teleconference call and stuff, the way Scott Steiner was speaking about wrestling, and obviously he has such a love for it, and that's what came across in that match when he was doing, you know, the Frankensteiner as a 50 plus year old man. It's unbelievable that you put yourself through that, you know, for the entertainment of the fans. I enjoyed the match. I thought he held up his end of the bargain really well. Eli Drake's fantastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with the tag team titles going forward.
One thing I've noticed, by the way, about Eli Drake, and it's the same with Brian Cage, which I know we'll move on to in the next match, but some of the big guys now are beginning to do cruiserweight type moves, which, you know, you never really see before. You know, the kind of springboard off the ropes, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Eli Drake has improved vastly in the last year. You know, Brian Cage can do some high flying, you know, stuff as well. I suppose, you know, if you go back years and years, the only time you ever saw a big guy attempt, you know, stupid aerobatic moves was Brock Lesnar against Angle at WrestleMania, where he messed up the Shooting Star. But you don't ever see big guys doing it, and these two guys, fantastic stuff. Anyway,
yeah. No, that's fair enough. You know, his moonsault off the top rope was superb, wasn't it? In all honesty, mm-hmm. You said that the tag team title match was your match of the night. In all honesty, this Lucha Rules match.
Sorry about that. Technical issue there, guys. These things happen.
Yeah, it's all, you know, this is what happens on a live podcast that's going to be edited later. The Lucha Rules match is my match tonight between Cult of Lee, Trevor Lee, Desmond Xavier, Taiji Ishimori, El Hero Del Fantasma, hopefully I got that right, DJZ and Brian Cage. I absolutely love this match. What did you think, Adam?
It was good. As a match, it was fantastic. And if you had a house show watching these guys, it would steal any show. It was just a bit random. That's the only complaint I have about it. And it's the same as the first one. You know, it didn't really serve to kind of progress anything else. But out of all those guys in the ring there, there's only one guy who I don't think is amazing, and that's Desmond Xavier, who I know won the X Cup. Don't get me wrong, he's good, but compared to Ishimori, amazing. Phantasma hasn't really been given a chance, but, you know, this guy can go, and I think if they do give him a bit of a chance in Impact, he can do something. Brian Cage, what can you say about him? But this is a heavyweight who's doing, you know, all kinds of stuff in the ring. I mean, the bit where he caught, was it Xavier he caught, and then also caught Phantasma off the rope at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, DJZ, you know, a lovely story coming back from a near-death injury, you know, to come back. And he's always been an Impact guy. Mm-hmm. And, of course, finally, Trevor Lee, you know, one of my favourite guys in Impact altogether. I just think he's entertaining, him and Caleb in the Cult of Lee. Brilliant. I'm surprised they've thrown back into this mix, because obviously they've been tagging a bit more recently. But, you know, individually, I like them all, with the exception of Xavier for some reason.
Wow. I'm surprised at that, Adam, I have to say.
There's got to be someone I don't like.
Yeah, every show there's somebody you don't like. Last time it was Johnny Impact. Yeah, so no, I'm going to stand up for Desmond Xavier in this one. I think when it comes to this Cruiserweight X Division style, and if you wanted a new school version of the X Division Cruiserweight style, I think it's him, in all honesty. I really impressed. Really impressed him in the Super X Cup. 2017, when he was going through the different matches and stuff. I think there's more to come from him. I'm surprised he hasn't been X Division champion up until this point, to the best of my knowledge. So
He has, but it's absolutely, he is going to be at some point.
Yeah.
Just one little comment about him, and it's a bit off topic, but one of the things he does, whenever he does a dive over the top, and they're always very impressive, he always goes to the far side of the ring, and there's the run across, which everyone does if they're doing a top you know, over the top rope dive. But he runs with his hands at his side. He runs like Barry Goldberg from the Goldbergs. And it bothers me every time I see it. It kind of takes away from me enjoying him. I don't know why. But the Goldbergs. There you go. That's something for your listeners to check out next time you see Desmond Xavier running. He runs with his arms stiff at his side. And it just looks weird.
So just this match, I mean, there's so many highlights in it, but the highlight for me, I couldn't tell you who was involved, but the DDT over the top rope, that was incredible. I think like jumped DDT'd into a bunch of the guys, but I couldn't tell you because, like, you know, it's 9:25 in the morning. But that really impressed me.
I think it was DJZ who did it.
Yeah, it was DJZ who did it, but I couldn't tell you who it was on or what have you, to be honest. But it was amazing visual. So, yeah, that was my match of the night, at least up until this point. The next match was announced on Impact Wrestling during the day. It was Taya Valkyrie against Kiera Hogan. What are your thoughts on this match, Adam?
To be honest, it was it was just thrown there. It was pretty much an extended squash for Taya. But I mean, the real reason it was on the card wasn't because of the two girls in the ring. It was all about Tessa Blanchard, so it was fine. You know, no one was going to buy the pay per view because of these two. So best I can say about it, it was there, a bit like the opening match.
Mm-hmm. What did you make of Tessa Blanchard's Impact Wrestling debut?
Well, it was fine. You know, she did. She was actually all right. You know, because obviously she, you know, she joined the commentary there for a little while. I thought she did well. She sold herself well. Just a shame that this week on Impact they didn't have anything about it afterwards. She disappeared again. So I'm sure she will be on the show in the coming weeks. But it was fine. It was absolutely fine. Inoffensive, I think, would be the way to describe it.
Yeah, I think I remember earlier saying I haven't seen this week's Impact, so if you could stay away from spoilers, that'd be great.
sorry, I'm doing it. I do apologize.
Yeah, in terms of this match, I thought Kiera Hogan looked really good going up against Taya Valkyrie and kind of staying the course. I'm not sure what Taya Valkyrie got from this match because obviously she was a big contender for the Knockouts Championship, and she's going up against somebody who's relatively new to Impact Wrestling, and you know, I thought that she would probably win a little bit earlier and stuff, but yeah, like you said, I think an inoffensive match, you know, of a good standard, and like I said, put on the card to kind of fill the card out, not in a me trying to be offensive kind of way, but because they probably had, you know, they need a little bit more time, and they want to push Knockouts Wrestling, which is a really good reason to add another match of the female variety to the card. So yeah,
one thing I would say about Hogan, by the way, that's Kiera, not Hulkster, is
brother.
Yeah, don't get me doing Hulk Hogan impressions. I'll take up the rest of the show.
Yeah,
I'm sort of doing that. But anyway, no. Hogan is that. I think they're building it quite well at the moment. The only thing I'm worried about is with the Knockout division, it is absolutely stacked. You know, really is, and they don't get much airtime because, you know, obviously, I don't want to be sexist here, but you know, it's not their main focus. Although, you know, whenever they do put the Knockout division in the main event, it's very good.
In all honesty, though, Adam, if you look at the history of the Knockouts Championship, it really should be their focus, as well as the X Division Championship, because what made it an alternative to WWE? It was the X Division in 2002 onwards. And then when the Knockouts title was introduced and it was Gail Kim against Awesome Kong, that made it an alternative to WWE. So if you take those two titles and those two divisions and you just make them part of the show instead of the show, then what's the alternative? So I really think they should build the X Division and the Knockouts Championship up as much as they possibly could.
Well, I think they do with the Knockouts Championship. I honestly think they do. They do a great job. You know, bearing in mind they have 2 hours a week, they've done an amazing job keeping all these women relevant. You know, so you've not only had Ali's
two-year storyline building up to the rest of this year's now, but you've had, you know, Taya versus Rosemary, you've had Su Yan coming in. So I think they've been juggling all these knockouts matches on a two-hour show fantastically well. I think they don't do so well with the X Division. I really don't. I think they've struggled with that for some years now. It's nowhere near the caliber it used to be. But that's another story. But what I was going to say about Hogan is that the female wrestlers that they're featuring at the moment have all got very defined characters and are very character-led. You know, you think of Ty, you think of Rosemary, you think of Su Yan, you think of Ali. I just hope that they don't fail with Hogan in, because she's got a lot of upside. You know, that she's a good wrestler, she's got a great look, got a great name, let's face it. you know, with a lot of name value, although she's nothing to do with him, you know, she's still got a great name for the wrestling business.
If you look at her Twitter handle, though, Adam, Hogan Knows Best 3, isn't it, I think? So, yeah, she's trying to capitalise on it, I think.
I was going to say, it should be foolish not to, but what I just hope they don't do is just make her, you know, lost in the shuffle with all these big characters, and that's the danger they have. You know, she could be the next Ava Story, she could be the next Casey Spinelli, who I think was great, by the way, in the match of Shadowy on the air. And I just hope that they give us something to do. So anyway, but at the moment, they're doing well with her. They're featuring her. They're giving her lots of airtime, which is good.
Yeah.
But I just hope they don't lose interest, especially with Tessa Blanchard coming in.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. So the next match was Petey Williams, the Canadian Destroyer, against Matt Sydal. What did you think of this match, Adam?
Once again, it was all fine. I just think, although Petey Williams is super over, mainly because sometimes he's been there since day one. You know, his finish is over. Let's face it. Everyone loves the Canadian Destroyer. Sydal's, I think, did the best work in his career. The match was as good as you're expecting it to be. You know, it was good, and you know, once again, top rope came into it, but. I'm surprised by the result again. I really thought PT would win. And I'd say that overarching of the whole show, I was quite surprised by many of the results on it, which is what I suppose you want from a pay-per-view.
Absolutely.
What was your thoughts on this match?
I thought it was more technical than I expected it to be. You know, Matt Sydal's not known for his technical wrestling, and obviously PT Williams is. I expected it to be the high flying against technical, but it was very, very technical, which appeals to the wrestling fan in me. When you say about Matt Sydal's character, I really, I don't know, in all honesty, I thought he was onto something before all this Namaste and Josh Matthews stuff. I thought he was really getting popular with the crowd. And then they changed him, and you know, it works because obviously Josh Matthews is so hated, so the hatred all go on to Matt Sydal, but he'll always be the guy who's got all the, you know, the tools to be one of the most popular guys on the roster. So it's interesting, this character change. I thought it was, much like you said, a good match. I don't think any of the matches, apart from the Lucha match, were kind of like go out and try and steal the show. I don't think this match was go out and steal the show, you know, based on the time it had and you know, the way it was wrestled in the ring. Good match. And, much like you, surprised, because obviously that's his Feast or Fired opportunity gone. And I thought Petey Williams might be the champion, but I guess one of the best ways to build up a division is have a champion who's a villain, and then have a number of different like heroes going after it. So if that's what they want to do to build up the X Division again, then I'm fully behind that decision.
One of the things that I do worry about, well, not, maybe not worry, that's not the right word, but, you know, Brian Cage does a lot of high-fly moves, and he was in this match this week as well, on the pay-per-view, on Redemption pay-per-view, so I just hope that they don't put him in the X Division for a little while. He can do it, and I know there's supposed to be no limits to the X Division, but I just think that possibly it's not the best place for him.
See, I'm not sure about it. I think it could be a great place for him. And then especially, like, if you imagine the people he'll go up against and the different challenges that will present, maybe that's the thing to get the X Division talked about, because obviously Brian Cage can do everything. You know, he's not going to go for the world title anytime soon. In my opinion, I don't think he should go for the world title anytime soon. So if you build him up, you know, Samoa Joe wasn't supposed to be X Division way back when, but he went into the X Division and then had an 18-month unbeaten run, didn't he? So, you know, that could get some eyes on the X Division title and the X Division. So I'm not against that at all. I think it could be quite good.
I'm not against it, but I wish they would give him a title reign with the Impact Championship, Grand Championship. Quite right, I don't think he's ready to be, well, physically he's ready, but character-wise, I don't think he's served enough long time, he hasn't developed his character, we don't really know his motivation, so I think he could work with the Impact Grand Championship. I just think that you put him in the X Division and, I think they're doing the right thing in keeping on PT, but not PT Winter, Matt Sydal at the moment. One comment about Matt Sydal saying that you didn't like him turning heel. I think it was needed for the division because it is very face heavy, other than the Cult of Lee. I'm trying to think of anyone else in the X Division who is a heel. I can't think of anyone. So
fair point there, Adam. Is the Impact Grand Championship still around? Because like they were going to retire it, wasn't they? So.
Well, yeah, they were going to retire it, and obviously they gave it to Josh, but then Austin Aries has got it now, hasn't he? And he still got it, so...
Oh, okay.
Interestingly enough, they redesigned all the belts, but that was one they didn't redesign, which makes you think they are going to drop it, but
yeah.
I believe it is still about at the moment. So they need a mid-card title, because I think the X Division should be seen as... I know it's supposed to be No Limits, as we said, but I'd rather see it for the smaller guys, you know, who can do the aerial stuff and have a proper mid-card title. But the guys like Braxton Sutter, although he's gone, you know, KM, Falabar, you know, at this moment, Moose, that people can feud over. And I think that Brian Cage would be ideal holding that in the same way that Ravishing Rick Rude held the TV title on WCW, or the Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man held the Intercontinental, you know, whoever it is. I don't think you need to hold the top title to be a legend in a division.
I see what you mean in terms of, you know, the mid-card wrestlers having a title to go for. You know, if I'm fantasy booking Impact Wrestling, I'd put the title on. Well, I'd have a feud between Matt Sydal and Brian Cage. I would. I think he could be the face of the X Division, and that would definitely, if I was a casual watcher or I didn't watch Impact at all, I'd definitely watch it if this big guy who can do cruiserweight moves is the champion. It would be fantastic.
I'm conscious of time, but I agree with you. I think that Brian Cage could be a face of a division, but bearing in mind that Impact is growing its brand by having connections to other wrestling promotions, and they're constantly expanding back, getting stuff on the GWN network.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be great if Brian Cage just had an open challenge every week? He had a featured match on the telly, but it was against people coming in from different divisions, from different companies, you know, and that's how you build relationships, you know, so you get, you know, Jack Jester from ICW, whoever it may be, you know, and that way you feature new promotions, you build relationships, and it builds buzz around, you know, because just imagine if you just go to house shows. I know you said you were going to a show possibly later on today. If you knew that on that match there might be Brian Cage defending the Impact Grand Championship, almost make it like an NWA title.
Yeah, I see what you mean. That's fair points. So I think we could talk about Brian Cage and where he should be in Impact Wrestling for the rest of the day, Adam, but I think we have to move swiftly on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sami Callihan and OVE against Eddie Edwards, Moose, and the innovator of violence, Tommy Dreamer. What did you make of this match?
Once again, yeah, before this match started, I thought, Tommy Dreamer, what's he doing? You know, why is he in here? But having said all that, this is great. I'm not one of these people who likes trash wrestling. Well, I do like trash wrestling, but, you know, I'm not one of these guys.
You can't. I'm not going to allow you to do that to Tommy Dreamer. No, I'm not having that, Adam. He's one of my favourites.
He was given this, to be fair, you know, and he held his own, and he did actually. So I was quite happy to see this match was really good, and Eddie Edwards, he's finally found a character that he can go with here. This is good stuff that they're doing, where he's losing his mind and turning ultraviolet. I think this match was great, and from a storyline progression point of view, it really worked, because you know, you still want to see this feud carry on. It feels like there's still unfinished business, but at the same time, Eddie Edwards got his kind of redemption. There you go.
That was nice, Adam. I know you didn't mean it, but that was good. Yeah, I was really happy to see Tommy Dreamer in this match. If you're going to do a hardcore match, he's the man for it. Like you said, great storyline progression. Eddie Edwards has always been a fantastic wrestler, but you'd always think, well, you know, what is his character? And in Ring of Honor, it was Die Hard, Eddie Edwards, and in Impact Wrestling, it's Anything Is Possible, Eddie Edwards. And now with this storyline arc where he's accidentally, you know, hit his wife with his kendo stick and stuff because he wanted to end Sammy Callahan, it's going to be really interesting to see where it goes from here. And yeah, this is one of the storylines that has really brought me back to Impact Wrestling. The Callahan Eddie Edwards storyline has been fantastic. So, moving on to Sue Young with Braxton Sutter against Ali for the Impact Knockouts Championship. What did you make of this match, Adam?
Yeah, good. I mean, Sue Young's been thrown into it very quickly, and I just hope that the loss doesn't damage. I don't think it will. I think they have big plans for her. And yeah, it was good, and it was good to see Ali get in a good win. Ali has improved immensely. I know she's a veteran of like 20 odd years, or maybe not so much as that, but you know, her wrestling, I've always felt, has been sloppy, and I know she's been trying to do that for her character, but when she does start to collect the moves, they haven't been great. But I thought she was good in this, and she's getting some good victories now, and I really like her super kick that she does. I think that she, it suits her character very, very well. So yeah, I was pleased with this match. I'm kind of surprised it wasn't very long from memory.
Yeah, 7 minutes.
Yeah, it was quite short, and I think that did more damage to Sue Young than to Ali winning in that time. Yeah, it was fine. I just don't think we've seen the end of this feud at all. I think it will carry on. Maybe not immediately, but Sue Young is too big a character to give too much production value and too much of a storyline to challenge for the title straight away, lose, and then not come back.
Yeah, you know, this is one of the storylines that I really enjoyed going into this show, and one of the matches I was most looking forward to. I thought once again it was a good match. They didn't give it enough time for it to be anything more than, you know, Sue Young's a great character, Ali's a great character, kind of how Bayley used to be, you know, and then obviously with Young turning on Sutter in the post match as well, it kind of puts her in between characters in that moment, and it was a little bit confusing. But with everything that Sutter's done, every time he seems to be in the ring with a woman, he tries to propose to her. So it was all interesting. It was interesting to see how things would go, really, with Sutter, you know, working with Sue Young. Would he cost Ali the title? And obviously he tried, but wasn't successful. But yeah, this is the first part of this storyline, in all honesty, or this series of matches. I'm sure Sue Young will come back, and you know, and the matches will get progressively better down the line.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think she's got a good future. You know, once again, a heavy character focus on her, which is good. But I think, you know, everyone wants to see a Rosemary Sue Young at some point go up, because they're similar characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that will be something down the road. But there's plenty for her to do. And when you think of WWE division, I think she's better placed in this one. Although she could make a huge impact in WWE because no one like her.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really the place to be is the women's division. I think anything looking at the WWE one, it does seem very bland. And I know you've got Ronda Rousey and those kind of people, but I just think the knockout division is far superior.
And yeah, this is the main event for the Impact World title. Pentagon Jr. versus Phoenix. versus Austin Aries. What did you make of this match, Adam?
It was great, and it was everything I was expecting it to be. You know, some really good wrestling, lots of fast movements. You know, there wasn't any lulls in the action. It was just fast paced. Amazed by the decision, the result. I really can see this in a month of Sundays. I actually, as opposed to the match,
which is ironic because we're recording this on a Sunday.
Yeah, very true. I'm trying to figure out why they did this, and I'm not saying that Pentagon doesn't deserve it. He does. He's a fantastic wrestler, super over with the crowd. I'm just very surprised, and I know this match was thrown together because of the Alberto situation, and I just wonder if they did this for the internet buzz. And if they did, I'm a bit disappointed. If they did it because they got long-term plans for Pentagon or committing himself to Impact, fantastic. But I was surprised. I just hope they didn't do it just for a shock value, if you know what I mean.
I think in this instance, you know, they'd built up the Austin Aries Alberto Alpatron match so well that I was absolutely gutted when it was taken off the table. I was really looking forward to it. Obviously, this was part of the Lucha versus Impact WrestleCon. I decided to go into it with fresh eyes. I didn't watch that match. I wanted to see what this match would be because obviously it's for the Impact World title. And really impressed. You know, Phoenix is fantastic, high flyer. Austin Aries brings, you know, everything to the table. So does Pentagon Jr. I wasn't sure how this would go. I guess in terms of Austin Aries retaining or otherwise. I think Pentagon deserves the win just based on the Pentagon driver. That move is sick. But in terms of strengthening a relationship between Impact Wrestling and Lucha Underground, this kind of cements it, doesn't it, really? Not much like you, not sure where we go from here. Happy because it's something new and different, you know. Another company is your heavyweight champion and stuff. So, yeah, I'm interested to see where this goes. I think Pentagon Jr.'s fantastic, and I've not seen that much of him. Like I said, in terms of cementing the relationship between the two, which was frayed, you know, not so long ago, I think it's a good move in that instance. It's one of those things. It's wait and see, isn't it? Really, that's all you can say about it.
That's really, but it's exciting, you know, because the guys that they brought in from Lucha have been great, you know. So as far as I'm concerned, it's all good stuff, you know. And I think the only chance that Impact have had to survive is to do exactly what they're doing. And I don't know if this was Jeff Jarrett's idea or not. I think it might have been with his Global Force Wrestling. Mm-hmm. This is maybe what he's trying to do, but certainly these guys are taking it to the next level now. Callis and Damore, you know, they've really created something at Impact that can grow. And I know the figures this week, the viewing figures in America work great. That's up against the draft, the NFL draft, which is always going to have an impact.
Nice pun there as well, Adam.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, they're moving the company in the right direction. I think the IWC is turning slowly to cheer on the babyface Impact now against the heel WWE. I think that they're doing all the right things. This created a bit more buzz, putting it on Pentagon. I think they're really actually now start growing again. They plug the holes in the boat, and I'm really positive for the future. I genuinely am positive for the future for them.
Yeah, in all honesty, you know, since Don Callis and Scott D'Amore have come in, Impact Wrestling has been, you know, great TV almost every week. And if you're not giving it a chance because of preconceptions, then you're missing out, in all honesty. I think they have, you know, we talked on Crossroads. Crossroads was a good show. Redemption's was a really good pay-per-view, and it's all heading in the right direction.
And no spoilers, this week's Impact was really good as well.
Yeah, I'm hoping to watch that before tomorrow when I record Positive in Pro Wrestling, so yeah. Just really, really impressed with this. Obviously, you know, we're talking a week after the show. We can remember, you know, everything that happened. That's going to be a great sign, hasn't it, really?
Absolutely.
So, thank you very much for your time today, Adam.
All the best, been a pleasure. more than happy to come back this Slammiversary or any time you need me to talk Impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for being a great guest. And, yep, just to wrap up here, we will be back. I will be back, sorry, with Positive in Pro Wrestling tomorrow. On Tuesday, we have the WWE Greatest Royal Rumble review with myself, Chris Lappin, Nick Davey, and a couple of guests, hopefully. And yeah, that's it for today. A Sunday morning edition that we never thought would take place, but it has. And I'm Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, both available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon Now. And I'm a proud member here at Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. Bye for now. Bye.